Hello, you've tuned in to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. Thank you for joining us for the program. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to know at least a few, if not all, of the Ten Commandments. They're the recipe for right living for some, while for others they're just a list of suggested do's and don'ts. Dr. Corbett has been looking at lessons from the life of Moses and tonight discovers that the Ten Commandments tell us volumes about the very nature of God. It's definitely worth a listen, so let's join him now.
I want to share with you a totally different aspect to the Ten Commandments. Let's have a read of this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, saying," verse 2, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Verse 3, first command, "You shall have no other gods before me." Verse 4, second command, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to a thousand generations to those who love me and keep my commandments." Fourth command, verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Fifth command, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is with you in your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy." The sixth command, verse 12, "Honour your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Seventh command, "You shall not murder." Eighth command, "You shall not commit adultery." Ninth command, "You shall not steal." Tenth command, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour." We've got an extra one here. We'll come back to this in a minute. The sixth command is do not murder. Seventh command, do not commit adultery. Eight, do not steal. Nine, do not bear false witness. Tenth command, you shall not covet your neighbour's house. I told you there was three things I was good at with maths, didn't I? Numbers and counting. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, anything that is your neighbour's. All right, verse 18, now have a look at this. "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountains smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, and that you may not sin.' The people stood far off, while Moses drew near." This is weird. I've got this underlined, highlighted. This is what it says. "And Moses drew..." Because if you were expecting to find God, this wouldn't be where. Look at this. "And Moses drew near to the" what? "Thick darkness," where God was. Isn't that bizarre? We'll come to that in a moment. That is really strange. Now, I want you to consider these Ten Commandments. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make a god for yourself. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, you shall honour the Sabbath, keep it holy. Number five, honour your mother and father. Number six, do not murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight, do not steal. Number nine, do not lie. Number ten, do not covet. There's your Ten Commandments. Consider this. If you read this and think, boy, this is just a lot of rules. then you miss it. You just totally miss it. Let me show you why I think you miss it. Because these Ten Commandments are actually something that reveal who God is. These commands reveal who God is. Go back and have a look at that and look at every command. Command, because I am like, dot, dot, dot. Because I did this for you, dot, dot, dot. You shall not do this because this is who I am. Now think about this. We're created in the image of God to bear to all of creation who God is. We're designed to show the world who God is. We bear his image. Therefore, God wants us to know who he is. So think about how that's happening here. In verse 2, God is revealed as the Redeemer. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. God is the Redeemer. What is a Redeemer? You ever seen Saving Private Ryan? There's a picture of redemption in that, where Sergeant Tom Hanks, or Captain Tom Hanks, whatever his name is, has to go in and rescue. The word rescue is the word in this instance, like redeem. Rescue someone from enemy clutches and get them back. That's what God has done for you. What does that tell you about God? God has risked enemy lines to redeem you. He became flesh. He became one of us. He came into enemy territory to redeem us. That's in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me because I'm the one who redeemed you. We look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. This is what it says. You don't bow down to them because I'm a jealous God. Hang on. I thought the Bible said don't be jealous. No. Let's just separate two words here. The word envious and the word jealous. Because the word envious is linked to the 10th command. The word jealous is not the same meaning. We've somehow distorted this word jealous. You know, when a wife wants to go out clubbing all night or whatever she wants to do, and her husband says, I don't like you doing that. And she says, oh, you're just jealous. Well, hello. Yes, he is. And fair enough. You know, it's kind of like, can you imagine this scene? Here we've got a newlywed couple. And so we've got a newlywed couple, and there they are at the table number four. Remember that? Table number four. And there they are having candles flickering, just some nice mood music in the background, the violins going, you know, it's like, here they are into the honeymoon, and it's like, this is like going well. And the waiter comes over and he slips a note to the bride. And the waiter says, it's from that gentleman at table 7. And the bride opens it up and says, I would like to see you after your meal in my motel room. She looks at it and she turns it around and passes it to her husband, and he looks at it and she takes it back and she says, would you mind? Something didn't quite kick in the gear in the pre-marriage counselling with this couple. Would you mind? Anyway, how does the husband feel? Just the question, how does the husband feel? He feels jealous. What does jealous mean? It means you're mine. You are rightfully mine. When I married Kim, she very proudly declared to me, everything you have is now mine. She said, and everything I have is still mine. What's yours is mine and what's mine is mine, is what she said to me. I had to process that for a while, and I've discovered over the nearly 20 years of marriage that she was right. And I found that doesn't include just the things that I own. It includes the things I am. It includes my time. It includes those 3 a.m. cold minus 3 degrees Tasmanian mornings when Ruby won't sleep and she says, would you mind? I think that's what she means when she kicks me in the bed and says, That's, oh, darling, I love you so much. I'm so comfortable here. Would you mind just tending to the baby? And I have to think, I did take a vow, didn't I? To honour, and so I better. Anyway, so here we are, table four, table seven. Table four, the husband looks at his bride and says, no, darling, you don't even ask. You're mine. Jealousy is protecting what's yours. Being envious is wanting what's not yours. So when God says, I'm jealous over you, you and he are seated at what table number? Four. Why four? Don't know, I just picked it. It just doesn't matter. It's just nothing spooky about that. But you're seated at table four with God. You're married to him. When you come into covenant relationship with him, that's what marriage is. It's a picture of the relationship that we enjoy with God. So here we are, we're at table four with God. We're enjoying this new relationship with him, and a better offer might be looming on the horizon. Would you mind, God, if I didn't come to church today? I just so would love to go water skiing. Like now, like no way, be ice skating. Anyway, so I, the Lord, am a jealous God. So what does that tell us about God? Can you see this command, you shall have, you know, you shall not make a God for yourself, is not, okay, it's a command. But why is it a command? Because it tells us something about God. It tells us he's a passionate lover. I don't care, the hottest, steamiest movie you've ever seen is like ice compared to how passionate our God is. Ooh, did our pastor just say what I think he said? You bet I did. God is a passionate lover. And he is jealous, and rightfully so, of us. It's good preaching, Pastor Kimberly. All right, verse 7. Here we go. What does this tell us about God? Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What does it tell us about God? It tells us that he's not a God that you cross. He's firm. He's firm. It's kind of not like some of the mothers I see in Woolies, you know, the kid up and down the lolly aisle. Well, firstly, what on earth were you thinking? Taking a three-year-old down the lolly aisle. And then the kid goes, oh, no, I want a lollipop. No. All right, here you go. You just sent a powerful message to that kid. You get what you want if you sook long and loud enough. The problem is when it still goes on in your 20s and 30s. Just look at your neighbour. Look at your neighbour. Look at your neighbour. I think he's talking to you. I think he's... But this tells us something about God, doesn't it? It tells us that God's firm. When God says there is one way of salvation, what is it in the heart of man? I want two. And in some parts of the world, they want 1,000, 10,000, 3 million, 300 million in one country. And God says, no, you got one. I give you one way of salvation. We should be grateful for that. Yeah. Have a look at this in verse 11. What does this tell us about God? Where it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and all that is in it. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed. He blessed the Sabbath day. What does that tell us about God? God is a God who blesses. He's a blessing God. God is a God who blesses. He loves to bless. What is bless? To do good so that you make someone happy. That's blessing. When someone says to you, you bless me, you did something good to them. You made them happy. That's who our God is. Hang out with this God. He's a God who blesses. He makes us happy and he does us good. That's great. This tells us, you know, oh, man, I can't work. Okay, oh, I can't work 7 days. No, it tells us something about God. It tells us that God is a God who wants to do good for us, not harm. He wants to do us good. This is revealing something about God. Now, have a look at verses 13 to 17, where we read these things, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. Now, think about this, you know, because in some cultures, they think that people owning things is wrong. You know, that it's wrong to have personal property rights. Have a look at these commands. Don't steal. the property of someone else. What does that tell you about God? He's a just God. He's a just God. He's a God who is fair. This reveals something about God. It also says that we have a responsibility, that just as God owns things, we have a responsibility too and a privilege of owning things. And God respects that. This is incredible. So if you've borrowed something from me, give it back. Anyway, I've got to be careful because I've probably borrowed something from you and you'll be going, oh, yeah. Here we go. But God's a just God. And that's why when the world lets things slip, when our justice system doesn't bring people to account, thank God that He will. He will. And you know, in this world, there may be some unsolved crimes. There may be some crimes that are just totally unjust and they go without account or without being someone held accountable and punished for what they've done. But ultimately, that will not be the case. God is a just God. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. The other thing to think about when we look at these, they reveal what's in our heart. You see, the moment somebody says to you, do not, there's something in our heart that says, righto then. You know, you ever see one of those storefront windows where they've got this circle and the whole thing's blacked out and it says, do not look through this hole? Now, what are you going to do? You sinner. So, but there's something in our heart that says, don't tell me what not to do. See, these commands, these 10 commands reveal something about our heart. As Christians, we believe that we are born in sin. David says in, was it Psalm 50, 51, I was born in sin, I was conceived in sin. The sin of Adam is passed down to us. We have this bent in us that says, given the choice between doing right and doing wrong, we have limited ability to choose what's right and we will usually, ultimately, end up doing what's wrong. It tells us something about our heart. The Ten Commandments reveal the heart of man. They reveal what's in our heart. Romans chapter 7 says it like this. Without a knowledge of the law, that's what these Ten Commandments are called, the law. Without a knowledge of the law, we have no knowledge of sin. That's what Paul says. I would not have known what coveting was if the law had not said, do not covet. So when somebody says to you, I'm not that bad, really. I don't need your Christianity, I don't need your Jesus, I don't need your religion, I don't need your church, because I'm not that bad. God would surely not send somebody like me to hell because I'm not that bad. Well, here's the challenge. 10 Commandments. 10 Commandments that Charles Spurgeon, perhaps one of the greatest preachers that has ever lived, he said these are like 10 great cannons pointing at the soul. What person, you know, I've not sinned, I'm not that bad. Okay, well, let's go through number one. You shall have no other gods before me. The word enthusiastic, entheo, two Greek words, filled with God. Entheo. Filled with God. Enthusiastic. If you're more enthusiastic about anything other than God, you've just smashed that first one. Second command, you shall not create a God for yourself. Is there anything that you would obey before God? Maybe a God you've created in your mind. Maybe you've even created a concept of God in your mind. You've created a God. You've just smashed the second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Ever dropped a brick on your foot and gone, Hare Krishna, what was that? How often do we hear people go, Jesus Christ? Why do they do that? I remember hearing a former atheist who was our Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, having just in recent days declared his atheism. And then I remember at a press conference, a light bulb went out on one of the cameras. I don't remember that. A light bulb went out and went bang. And the first words out of his mouth were, Jesus Christ. Why? Why not Muhammad the Prophet? Why not Buddha? Why Jesus Christ? It's interesting. Really interesting. There's something spiritual about it. But you know, to take the name of the Lord your God in vain is to do what we might do to your name by taking your full name and writing some disparaging remarks in the public toilets all around this city. That would be to take your name in vain. And God says, don't do that to my name. So the question is, for somebody who says they've never sinned, they've never done anything wrong, have you ever done that? Because if you have, you've just smashed that one as well. How are we doing? We're only up to number three. How about number four? Take one day a week and honour God with it. How are you going with that one? Okay, well, how about number five? Honour your mother and father. You ever back chat your mum or dad? See, how are we doing? Six, do not murder. Haven't done that one. Oh, that's good. Jesus said, if you've ever had anger in your heart towards someone else, Jeff,
slipped again.
You've murdered. Now how are we doing? Do not commit adultery. Ah, I haven't done that one. Oh, well, Jesus said. Spirit of revival's breaking out, you see? Do not commit adultery. If you have lust in your heart for someone, you've already committed adultery. Do not steal. Don't matter what the value of it is. If it was only a box of paperclips from the office, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Jesus didn't say to the value of. Do not lie. Yeah, I don't lie. I only tell little white lies. I don't lie. I just don't tell the full truth. See how we're going here? In other words, the law condemns us all. Don't covet. Don't covet and you work in the advertising industry, you're gone every day. You want a new plasma TV? Yeah, I do. I want that one. You know, it's like coveting all the time. So these Ten Commandments reveal the heart of God and they reveal what's really in our heart. Our heart on its own is a heart that says, God, I don't want you to rule my life. Man, this is scary stuff. And then think about this, that we haven't looked at this. Let's just go down to verse 22. And the Lord said, thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you've seen for yourselves that I've talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me. You shall not make for yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. Now, hang on, where did that come from? Left field. Hang on, animal sacrifices. Because if you break these laws, there's a price to pay. You break these laws, it requires punishment. It requires the shedding of blood. Now, we're going to take your guilt, we're going to put it onto an animal, and that animal's going to take your place and die. So what does the law reveal? It reveals the price of sin. The price of sin. It's high. The law reveals the price of sin. But it also reveals the fact that there are animals dying in our place. It reveals that we need a saviour. None of us, there's only two types of people that will make it to heaven. Number one, the person who has never sinned. They're going. They're on their way. Number two, the person who has had a saviour deal with their sin. They're the only two types of people that will make it to heaven. And I'll give you a clue. There's no one in group one. The law reveals that we need a saviour. You may have thought, oh, I didn't think my sin was that bad. Let me tell you, your sin doesn't just break the law of God. Remember, I said this reveals the heart of God. Sin breaks the heart of God. Man, this reveals that we need a saviour. We need Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sin. We now want the whole world to know. You know, we sang that song, Lord, bless this land. How can this land be blessed? This land can be blessed when all people acknowledge, you're my Lord. You are my Lord. You've conquered me. Lord, I acknowledge that I've broken each one of these, and I have. I acknowledge that I've broken each one of these Ten Commandments. And as Moses was receiving these, maybe he felt the weight of the stone tablets. Oh, big, heavy stone. There they are, the weight of it. And the good news is that no matter what you've done, whether you've broken, you know, our lives are like a boat moored to a jetty. You break one link or break all ten, doesn't matter, one will do. James says it this way, you break one, you're guilty of breaking the whole lot. That's how he puts it. You may have broken these and you feel, oh. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ can take your guilt and your punishment. Those things that are written against you, all the list of your sin, he can take it. He can take your life and he can not only deal with your sin, but he can take you and hide you in him so that when God looks at you, he sees his son. We need a saviour. Church, we need a saviour. We need to live with this saviour every day. When you slip up in these areas, thank God you've got a saviour. Thank God that 1 John 1 says we can confess our sin to God and he's faithful and he's just and he not only forgives us, he does what? He cleanses us. He cleanses us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are here today to celebrate the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, that Jesus Christ has come and he's cleansed us and he's forgiven us. And now, Lord, there may be some here who need that right now. They need to be forgiven and they need to be cleansed. If that's you, you're just one prayer away from freedom. You're one cry to heaven away from being totally cleansed and having your conscience made new. One prayer. And a prayer that sounds something like this. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. Forgive me of my sin and come and live in my life. Live in me, I pray, and help me to live for you. And don't think, oh, but I'm already a Christian. I can't pray a prayer like that. Yes, you can. And yes, you should every day. We need to be walking with God every day in forgiveness and cleansing. Father, I thank you for that forgiveness. I thank you for that cleansing. I thank you, Lord, that the law is not something that makes us right. It shows us that we're not. It shows us that we need a Saviour. And I thank you, oh God, that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, as that Saviour. Amen. Amen.
Even if you've been a Christian for years, there are some valuable insights to be gained from tonight's discussion on the Ten Commandments. Dr. Corbett continues to look at lessons from the life of Moses next week, and we hope you can join us again. You can purchase a CD copy of tonight's program for $5.50, including postage and handling. Finding Truth Matters resources, including podcasts, are available from the website www.findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting Lagana Media at P.O. Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Just quote the program title Moses, Part 17, The Ten Commandments. If you'd like to subscribe to Finding Truth Matters monthly e-newsletter perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. Finding Truth Matters is produced by Lagana Media, and we look forward to joining you at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.